Welcome to the Tech Savvy Professor podcast. Two faculty who love tech and love making it part of their work. I'm Marty Gentius, an associate professor at Kent State University.
And I'm Eric Perry, clinical faculty at Southern New Hampshire University.
Well, Eric, last week we had a little side conversation in the background about monitors, and you were talking about maybe getting a new monitor. And I said, well, let's talk about monitors for a show and see what we have to say about monitors and monitor selections. And more so, I think, for the listener to think about, consider what you need both at home and office and where and how you're going to get that. Some of it's worth the personal expense in order to have good viewing screens, since that's where you're going to spend most of your time working. And that's not always what you'll get from your university setup. So sometimes it's just the cost of doing business that you need to do to amp up your tech. So think about it and think about the possibilities that you could have.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as I started to walk through this and think about the show today, I realized how much I use the setup I have now for. So, you know, there's the grading part of it and the kind of work element. I also use two separate laptops, one for work and one for personal use. I also have a gaming setup that I use one of my primary monitors for. So I use this for a whole lot of different things and really needed it to function for all of it. So, you know, a lot of that went into thinking about my setup and what I have.
Yeah, my setup decision-making was based on, I think I'll get another monitor, what's on sale and what's in that price range that I can get that's sensible, ignoring the different resolutions that I have on all three monitors. So, right. You know, when I move a window from one monitor to the other, it suddenly becomes really small or really big. Uh-huh. And so I have to get used to that. And I have gotten used to that. It's all kind of muscle memory now. But really, I was not planful in my sense. It was sort of like, I think I want another monitor. And the third one that I got, I think, was just to upset my wife because, you know, I could get a fourth, actually, right, with the setup that I have. You know, I could have four monitors hooked into this. And I've chosen not to. But if she ever pushes me further, I'll probably get a fourth monitor. Why? Because I can. It's not necessarily that it's turned out filling a really good workflow. It's really increased my workflow. So, you know, I made the decision to go to two monitors a few years back. And then the option came up for a third monitor with the studio Mac that I have, that I can plug up to four monitors into it. But I went with the third. And it was, well, do you really need a third? Are you going to use a third? And hell yes, I use a third. It's, you know, function fits form, I guess, in this. You put a third monitor up, I'm going to find a way to use it. So let's talk about your setup at home. What do you have? Or I guess for me, when I started putting the show together, it's like, is Eric's home really different than his office? But you've just introduced all these concepts of, wait a minute, I've got a gaming machine, I've got two laptops, so I'm curious now what you've got and where you've got it.
Yeah, so my setup was a little bit different. I perseverated a good bit over how I wanted this to work and function. Clutter drives me crazy, so I wanted to make sure that I used the space the best I can, and then it was going to function for all the things I needed it to. Right now, I have two 29-inch LG ultra-wide monitors. They're full HD, but they're older. They're a couple years older. They were on sale at Sam's Club and, you know, seemed to fit the purpose, so I picked them up. Same resolution, same model. I have one set up in a landscape in front of me with my camera and mic and things on it. And then I have one set up in a portrait mode next to it, flipped on its side, that I use as a document monitor. So I use that to organize, you know, different windows that I have when I'm doing reviews and comparing drafts and those types of things. I find it to be really helpful. So I use an arm, a dual monitor arm that attaches to the back of my desk and actually is a low profile, so I can keep the desk pretty close to the wall. Some of those will kind of clamp to the back of your desk and they'll have a big metal piece that attaches there and will bump your desk out. And I didn't like that. So I have that set up there and it funnels the rest of my cords and my KVM switch. So a KVM switch is something that allows you to hook up multiple devices and switch between them. So I can use these monitors for either one of the laptops I have here and the PS5 that I have actually hanging on the wall behind my current setup. So I have all of those things kind of running together so that I can switch between whether it's, you know, playing games, you know, working on documents, and then I can move the configuration of the monitors to if I need to. Now, two 59-inch monitors is, you know, 58 inches of screen space. I can't see that in my field of view at all times. So putting them side by side didn't make a whole lot of sense for me because I wanted to have the ability to use both here. There's definitely some issues that come along with these kind of low-end monitors. There's not much in terms of sound. You really want something additional as an add-on for sound. So I have a Blaster X surround sound system behind my monitors that I've hooked in that I also have for either laptop or for the gaming setup. So it allows me to be a little bit more strategic about what it is that I'm doing. I can pull the monitor forward for gaming. I can push it back and use the document monitor when I'm reviewing and grading. So it allows me for a little bit of that. However, I really would love to have a one monitor setup. And I know like the cool thing is to have like six stacked monitors like you see in old 90s hacker movies, right? That's how I'd always imagined having my setup. But I've come to find that really how the setup is in terms of functionality is where I'm most comfortable with, or I'm just messing with it. So I'm still up in the air about whether or not I'm going to get the one giant monitor. I have a couple of future wants to take a look at, and I wanted to mention a couple of them as we were talking about it. One is the Samsung Odyssey series. It's the G9 series that just came out. They went out on sale for $1,000, I think, last week, and we're sitting about $1,200 or $1,300. They have a 240 hertz refresh rate, something we talked about when we were talking about video. But there's others that come pretty close and are pretty comparable for considerably less. Dell has an ultra sharp series. Don't love Dell. I had some issues with them, but that's my own anecdotal stuff. Pretty highly rated. LG also has their own 49-inch model, which is the WL95C. It has USB-C compatible. I think at four HDMI ports, you know, so that's another thing to consider too. You know, what can I hook into this? Am I going to need something like a KVM switch, or can I just use the different outs that I have on that? Acer Nitro and Asus ROG Swift are nice options, but they're a bit smaller. They don't run quite as high as 47 or 49 inches. You can get them right around 42. But they're considerably cheaper. One thing I like about the Asus models, if you go to check those out, if you're a gamer, those refresh rates stay really high and they perform really, really well. They're developed for gaming. Now, my work setup monitors, I don't need nearly as much. So if I decided to split this out and have a different setup for gaming, we'd have a different conversation about what types of monitors might be necessary. But something like this, you could use for both and not see any issues or trouble. So that's kind of the long and the short of my setup. What do you got going over your way, Marty?
Well, let's preface this by saying I'm not a gamer. So refresh rates are not something I have to live and die on. Literally, I guess, if you're a gamer.
Right.
And I've tried multiple attempts in my life to get into gaming, and it lasts about as long as the impulse I have to get into gaming. So I haven't paid much attention to refresh rates. Mine seem to be a hodgepodge of collection, and I can't tell you which one I got. Well, I can tell you the one I got last, but and that's the main center monitor. My monitors in my home are laid out at a sort of semicircular fashion. So I'm sitting in the middle of the semicircle, and I've got one monitor on my desk on a stand. I have another monitor, center monitor on a stand, and then I have another one on one of those arms that you were talking about. And because my desk fits into a corner and goes or sweeps around a corner. I have my monitors all on sort of one leg of that whole setup. So the arm monitor sits off the, is clamped to the side of the table. So I can go completely back to the wall if I need to go back to the wall. So I'm starting on my left, or what I view as my left, and I have a Dell 31.5, 32-inch monitor that is a 1920 by 1080 display, and I have it on a little elevation on my desk to keep it up at the same level as the rest of the monitors. And it, I went and I, when I first, I had to find out what the model number was, and then I had to search for it, and I looked at it and I thought, the pricing on this is still around $450. I would never pay $450 for a 1920 by 1080 monitor. What I remember of the back is I think it has one HDMI connection and one VGA connection. That kind of tells you how old the monitor is, that it still has a VGA input. If you want to use it. I'll tell you, it's one of my favorite monitors because everything is bright, everything's there, and everything is for detail, everything is clear. So I can move things over there and it becomes very clear. Middle monitor is an Apple Studio Display 27-inch. You know, that's a $1,600, $1,500 monitor. I bought it just wanting to see what the Apple product it was. It is a 5120 by 280, 2880 resolution at 218 pixels per inch, 600 nits of brightness. So it's a nice, clean, crisp monitor. But sort of sitting next to a Dell where everything's big and everything's clear versus small print and in the middle of it, you know, I'm in competition. I'll move things over from the Apple monitor, swipe them over onto the Dell monitor just to get a clearer look at it. So for me, your visual acuity is another question that you want to think about when you look at monitors. How clean, how crisp do you need it to have, or how big do you need it to have? And you can save some bucks with the lower resolution monitors that might work just as well for you. On my right is a Samsung UE570 series business monitor. It's a 28-inch monitor. It's mounted on a mount-up movable mount, and its resolution is 3840 by 2160, and has fine resolution. It looks a little washed out in terms of brightness compared to the other two monitors. And, you know, you can do individual adjustments on these things, and it just, I can't get it to be as crisp as the other monitors, but it functions really well. I also have a 43-inch 4K LG television that's stuck up on the wall in the corner that gets less use than I thought it would be, because just the angle, it's so close to the corner that I have to, you know, put my neck up really high to see anything that's going on the screen. But occasionally I'll have a ball game on there or something going on, and that's got a sound bar that's in the back of the room. I have a PC. I bought a cheap PC, and I will recommend this for folks who need to get into the, want a cheap additional PC. It's one of those little mini PCs, an Ace Magician mini PC. It's got an Intel 12th generation Alder Lake N95. It goes up to 3.4 gigahertz, 16 gigabyte DDR4 RAM, and 512 gigabyte storage. It runs Windows 11 Pro. And I use it because there are some programs I still need to run on Windows, or that I would be afraid that I'd have to run on Windows. We had a faculty member pass, and they sent me his email to kind of to go through to make sure any student needs were taken care of. And of course, they sent it in an Outlook format. It would only run on a Windows computer, and I used that computer for that. So I don't have much of a monitor there. It's attached to an AOC monitor AOC 2217 PWC monitor. It's 21 by 6 inches, and it's 1680 by 1050, so more of that square feel. And it's a fine monitor for the amount of time that I use it when I go into Windows or need to go into Windows. So that's my setup here at work. I have a Apple Mini M2 that I purchased, and it's attached to two monitors that I can't really tell you what they are. They're both 21-inch monitors, so I have a dual monitor set up there. I have a three monitor set up here. I could add a fourth monitor to upset my family, because I like those 90 hacker films where you have multiple screens. And just the functionality, if you have a single monitor and you're working off a single monitor, get a second monitor and set it up. It's easy to do, and see how much your productivity changes with two monitors. If you get a third monitor, it's even more efficient, as long as you have the machine that'll drive it. Right. If you have a slow machine and you can add monitors onto it, it's going to muck things up for you. But definitely get a second monitor if you don't have one, just for productivity purposes. And if you can get a third, I would endorse a third. It's come in really handy for me.
Yeah, I think that's awesome advice. I noticed really quickly, some people will split windows on the same monitor. And that works well if you have enough landscape for that. But just to be able to put things to the side or to have reference materials in another place while you're working on something, there's a huge, huge up for me in terms of productivity. I could take a quick glance at my email that's on another screen, be able to make a decision about whether or not I needed to reply without flipping between windows. It really saves you a lot of clicking time to have things positioned in a way that you can take those quick glances or you can reference things without having to move between windows. And it sounds like such a silly little thing, but it does eat up so much time switching between those tasks when a quick glance can work. And something else you mentioned, Marty, too, which may be a future episode for us, are the mini PCs. We've been talking a lot about these. There was a school that a friend of mine is working at, a K-12 school, and they're moving from providing Chromebooks to providing mini PCs for the kids at home, rather than having them use them in the classroom, which I thought was really interesting because the price on these has come down so far. They save space, you know, and they, I've had a lot of questions about, you know, even from friends with, you know, relatives who are getting a little bit older and wanted a PC and not wanting to invest a ton, but getting them kind of connected, about whether or not those are options, and they're getting really popular.
Yeah, the one I spoke about, the Acer Magician Mini PC Intel 12th Gen with 16 gigabyte DDR4 and 512 gigabyte storage, $177.
Yeah, super.
Now, affordable. You know, I think you can run two, maybe even three monitors off of it. I will never do that. I will keep it to the one cheap monitor that I need it at. I don't know how far you can push the system by adding monitors onto it and whether it would sustain it or whether you'd start getting glitchy stuff. But frankly, for $177, I've got an old monitor. I can get a keyboard and a mouse, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, you have a full setup for
a full setup with a Windows 11. You know, if you for whatever you think of that, I've got it's loaded with Windows 11 on it. So that's very cool. For most of my work, when I'm not here, I take my laptop with me. So even in class, when I'm going on campus to teach in class, I'm not going to get into their classroom system to go to my Chrome, Google Drive, to pull things open, to do that. I don't want to leave that footprint on their system. I'm just going to plug in my laptop. So my office computer is strictly for when I'm in the office and I have to do something. And previous show, we talked about how I hooked up a printer to it in order to be able to keep it in with my own little ecosystem and not have to patch into the university. But my go-to is my laptop when I'm teaching. And so particularly, I'm sure it's true with Windows too, it's easy with Mac to kind of share desktops. And with that, I can anything I create here on my home computer desktop will show up at my office and will also show up on any of my laptops once I open them up. So I can do all my content creation here, and it'll be on my laptop when I open it up at work. You know, whereas you have multiple laptops for multiple purposes and high-end speed monitors, I've never hooked my laptop into my monitor system. I always just work off the laptop screen with that. That's just my work style. So anything else to share?
I don't think so. I mean, this is one of the more exciting things for me, though. Like you said, it's a productivity issue. And it's something that can really, really impact your work day to day, is having the right setup.
Yeah. And I think you need to, if you're looking at purchasing one monitor or two monitors, or you have one and you're looking at a new one, pay attention to the resolution, only because what you're able to stretch the screen to be able to do or shrink the screen to be able to do is limited by what the monitor resolution is. Mm-hmm. And it could be a big thing for you. For me, it's not a big thing to move something from a 5120 over to a 1980 screen, 1980 resolution. But for some folks, they want that similar flow, so the window shows up the same size when they move it over to the other screen. So pay attention to that. Pay attention to refresh rates as much as you might need that. And most importantly, pay attention to the system that you have and whether it can sustain more than two monitors if you're looking at a third. Most systems can sustain it, but you need to have a good processor. And particularly if you're working through a Windows system, you're going to need to make sure that you have the graphics card that can handle that in the system. So, well, how can listeners get involved? If you've got a tech question or you're trying to figure out how to do something with technology, or you have an idea to share, email us at thepodtalknetwork@gmail.com or call and leave a message at 330-333-1240. And we'll play your question in the podcast and try and get an answer for you. Our bumper music is from Philip Gross, Rast, from the Free Music Archive. That's it for today's show. Thanks for subscribing to the Tech Savvy Professor podcast. Everything you need to know is at techsavvyprofessor.net. You can find us by searching Apple Podcasts for the Tech Savvy Professor. Look for us on Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Music. Look for other shows like Circular Firing Squad. That's a fun panel show that we have on thepodtalk.net. Thanks for listening to the Tech Savvy Professor.